Hi guys, and welcome to the podcast. I am, of course, your host and podcast founder, Lawrence Francis. I just want to take this opportunity to give you a quick overview of this series, which features coverage of the Dublin Wine and Cheese Festival, which took place at Ivy Gardens in central Dublin between the 8th and the 11th of August 2019, which will air on the Interpreting Wine podcast between episodes 289 and episode 300. This will feature a mixture of talks and one-to-one interviews with some of the leading lights in the Irish and international wine scene. This consumer fair is now in its second year, and I was seriously impressed with the quality of speaker overall. I think that events of this type really lend themselves well to being covered for the podcast. I would love to feature more events of this kind in the future. So without further ado, here is today's episode of the Dublin Wine and Cheese Festival 2019 series. Today's episode of the podcast features Mick O'Connell, MW, leading a talk and tasting all about natural wine. In the episode, Mick builds the audience's understanding of some of the different labels that are often given to wine, through from organic to natural, illustrating each of these with a carefully chosen wine, interweaving this with his own experience and background, and finishing with a recent vintage of his own wine. Enjoy.
Welcome. I'm just amazed that you can all get an afternoon off work to come and drink wine and eat cheese. That's pretty impressive. You should all be like high-fiving bosses and stuff like that. Incredible that there's that amount of lushes in Dublin. I love it. I'm just delighted. So we're going to talk today a little bit about natural wine. But in order to get to natural wine, we're going to talk about organic wine. We're going to talk about biodynamic wine and natural wine. So kind of what are the differences between those wines? And thankfully, we have some very, very tasty wine that we're going to pour for you guys as we go along. So the first wine that we're going to look at here is from an Irish woman from Mayo. And she makes wine in Burgundy. So it's a pretty interesting thing. First, she's Irish. That's not all that normal. We don't have very many Irish winemakers. Secondly, doing it in Burgundy. I mean, Burgundy is probably the most classic wine region. You know, it is where all of us wine geeks would have our heart. You talk to wine geeks about where they've had their epiphany moments about wine, and it's almost always something to do with Burgundy. The interesting thing with her is, obviously, she wasn't born in Burgundy. She wasn't even born into Burgundy, so she's not Burgundy royalty like, I guess, most of the people who are there already. So she's what we call a micro-negotiant. So what she's going to have to do for producing her wine is she's buying grapes off farmers who are over there, and then she's taking the grapes, bringing them back to her winery, and then producing a wine. And what you've got in front of you now is a San Roman, so that's a Chardonnay. And this is all from organic fruit, okay? So organic, what does it mean? We probably, you guys are high enough engagement with booze to have taken a Thursday afternoon off work to come and drink booze. But I guess some of you do organic food and things like that as well when you go shopping in the supermarket or whatever. But organic basically means that they're blocking the use of herbicides, pesticides, all of this bad stuff. So organic is kind of, this is what you can't do. There's no kind of, we're suggesting that you do this. It's more, we're stopping you from doing this. So these are organic and certified organic grapes. And I guess I wanted to start with this wine, really because I think when you taste it, it's a pretty normal wine. Have most of you got some of it now? So this is a classic Burgundy wine. It is pretty damn good. I hope you agree. This is something that you'd probably see retailing for about 55 quid. So I did say if you have he heard the 55 quid and said fill me up. So I said, for the people who are doing the thing of getting the afternoon off work, we may as well, you know, get out of bed for a reason, folks. You know what I mean? So, yeah, the guys down at Green Man retail this. So have you got any of this, Roddy? Oh, my God. Shock horror. Roddy will have this in stock next Monday. Definitely. So, again, sometimes I think people have an idea that organic wine might be something kind of different from normal wine. And I think you'll agree from tasting this, it's pretty normal wine. It's not crazy. It's just very, very delicious. It's Chardonnay, lightly kind of nutty in itself, nice ripe fruit, bright acid, would go well with loads of cheese, which is kind of suitable given where we are, which is great. Do we like it? A good start? Good, good. But do we agree as well that it is a kind of normal wine? It's not nuts, it's not mad, it's just a really good glass of wine. Good. So I guess some of what I wanted to show you today is, like, you have wines that are made with these kind of titles on them, with these labels on them, organic, biodynamic, even if they're not on it, quite often you'll see them with kind of quirky looking labels. And you might be saying to yourself, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I'm not entirely sure. Is organic good? Yes, it's good in terms of they're farming more cleanly. In general, if someone is going to the hassle of farming organically, they're probably also taking the time to do the winemaking piece pretty well as well. So, but the interesting thing again about organic is it's really only talking about what you're doing in the vineyard. That's all it is. It's literally talking about the grapes. And I think sometimes we kind of, maybe us here in Ireland, very far removed from where wine is often made, are probably thinking, you know, wine is just this thing, you grab the grapes and it's all made in the winery. Most good winemakers would tell you that really good wine is actually made in the vineyard, as in it's really grape growing. In France, they don't really have a word for winemaker. The word they would use is vigneron, and vigneron really means grape grower. So, organic, this is really only talking about what is being done in the vineyard. Now, in terms of what Roisin happens to do in the winery, she would be very, very hands-off as well. And what do I mean by hands-off? Okay, so there are normal things that have to happen in order for you to produce a wine. So you have to get the grapes in. You have to squish them. For a white wine, usually you would squish them and you'd move the juice over somewhere else, and you have to ferment them, okay? So you have, if you don't ferment it, you don't have wine, you've got grape juice. So there's lots of things that you have to do. For white wines, normally people would take the stems off the grapes, all of these kind of things, and like I said, they'd move the juice away from the skins. So the skins, the stems, the pips all get chucked out. That's normal white wine production. So already you've kind of done lots of manipulations to get you a glass of wine, if you know what I mean. Then quite often people would go into, say, a big stainless steel tank, or a small stainless steel tank, of course, or a barrel, or what you're seeing a lot of on trend at the moment is like concrete tanks, things like that. So these are very trendy ways of doing wine. You can also do lots of additives in wine. You can add stuff like, there's the big bad mega purple, which is this kind of like thing that kills all of the stuff in the wine, but also adds color at the same time. You can add things like yeast. Yeast is a pretty normal thing. If you talk to any of the beer people who are here, they'll all add a yeast. In wine, we've probably, certainly in the kind of wine you're going to see here, we've probably got to a point where we're kind of going, you know what, if you're adding yeast, that's not really as cool as letting the normal yeast that just are around the vineyard do its own thing. And one of the reasons that we would be saying that is, quite often with a spontaneous yeast fermentation, so their own yeast, the yeast that is natural to that winery or vineyard, tends to be a slower fermentation, you tend to get more flavors. So there is a reason for it there, you know. But what I'm saying with Roisin, she's not doing all these manipulations. She presses the wine, ferments the wine, spontaneous fermentation, so it's on its own yeasts. It goes into oak, some new oak, some old oak, and you can taste that a little bit in the wine. So while it is just an organic wine in terms of in the vineyard, she is also doing very, very clean winemaking. And I think you see that here. Cool. So given that some of you have empty glasses, we'll move on to biodynamic. Okay. So we're kind of at the Vincent Caillé, Cab Franc. Thanks, Murray. Organic, we're kind of saying, is a little bit like, you know what, you can't do that. You can't do this, you can't do that, you must not do that. Biodynamic probably goes a little bit further. It says you can't do all those things, so it's organic, but it's kind of super hippie-charged organic. So biodynamic is a little bit, sometimes I kind of compare it to homeopathy. in that, you know, you're kind of saying to yourself, I've just had an antibiotic, I'm feeling pretty run down, what am I going to do? I'm going to get a probiotic. And you're kind of going, it's about trying to introduce good stuff back into the wine. It's almost like looking at things as prevention rather than cure. That's certainly the idea. The other thing with biodynamic is they look at the vineyard and the winery as one kind of piece, one whole entity. And the idea is that you should really, again, have much kind of cleaner styles of wine. They, biodynamic tends to, again, because you're not just talking about the vineyard now, you're talking about going into the winery as well, everything is done as one kind of piece. The reason that people kind of look at it and go, it's a little bit hippie, is because they do some mad stuff for those kind of homeopathic remedies. So one of the things they do, for example, they'll bury cow horns with cow manure in them. They bury them. I don't know why they bury them. Who knows? But they ferment the cow manure. Then they take out the cow manure on a lunar cycle. Obviously on a lunar cycle. I mean, what else would you be doing? Then they take this fermented poo, basically, and they'll dynamize it with water. And you have to use words like dynamize. That's not just marketing. I mean, it really works. When you dynamize it, so you're putting it through a kind of flow of water, and then they basically put it into like a jetpack and spray it on the vines. And there's a that sounds really hippie, but there is a reason for it, and there's a really logical, practical reason for it. They're basically developing bacteria. They're putting it into water, they're putting the bacteria onto their vineyard, so they're trying to increase, and this is the big word, they're trying to increase biodiversity in the vineyards. So these are people who are really taking a kind of long-term look at not only their own property, but the wines that they make and the health of their own property. You guys with me? I know it gets a bit nerdy, doesn't it? It really does. Sorry about that. The other one that I really like is for the biodynamic preps is they use silica. So they lash some silica in. Again, they dynamize the water. Do not forget to dynamize the water. You must dynamize the water. So they dynamize the water. And silica, if you think about it, is a kind of shiny crystal. So you're sticking this into the water, and then similarly, you're spraying it onto the vineyard. So you spray it onto the vineyard, and what does that do? Well, it obviously makes whoever is doing it tired, but probably gives themselves a pat on the back. I've done well here. I've done a good day's work. But if you think about, say, a day like today, if you've got the foliage of the vineyard, and for Lawrence's podcast, I'm gesticulating with a hand here. I mean, like, I'm not sure how we're going to get that on the podcast. I don't know. But anyway, you've got a hand or a leaf facing down, and you're basically spraying on the shiny bits, and you're reflecting the sun up into the vine. Now, again, you're just, what they talk about is adding energy to the vine, you know, so you're adding a little bit of heat to the vine, but that is literally what you're doing. You're adding a little bit of sun into the vine. So it's a pretty, to me, it's a very, very cool way of doing it. Again, I kind of said this about organic, but if you're going to the trouble of doing all of that stuff, you really, really care, A, about your vineyard, but B, about the wine that you're going to be serving to people. Have you guys tasted this? Okay, cool. So we have got Cab Franc. Actually, I haven't tasted it. Shocking. So we have got a Cab Franc from the Loire Valley, but near Nantes. So this is a Cab Franc from the kind of Muscadet-producing part of the Loire Valley. So are you guys familiar with Muscadet? Muscadet was one of those things. It was super famous in the 80s and then disappeared. Like I don't know, Duran Duran or something like that. But they're back though, right?
They are.
There, yeah. Probably much better looking. That's the usual thing. So like, actually, funny enough, like Duran Duran, Muscadet is way better looking now than it used to be. So Muscadet has made a bit of a kind of break back onto the scene. You're seeing really, really interesting wines coming from there now. This guy, Vincent Caillé, he's a biodynamic farmer, and he makes Cab Franc. He makes a little bit of Malbec, but they call it Cot in the Loire. C-O with one of those triangle-y thing, T. And then he makes Melon de Bourgogne, which you put into Muscadet. So we've got the Cab Franc in front of us. Cab Franc is a pretty unusual thing. We don't sell loads of Cab Franc in Ireland. It tends to be used as a bit of a blending variety. So you'll have drunk plenty of it, but usually it'll be hidden in the back of a Bordeaux blend somewhere. It'll be that one that's like 1% of that? Why did you put in 1%? What was the point of that? But I think if you taste it now, you'll taste it. It gives a little bit of bite. It's quite a green style of wine. It's a bit herbaceous, and it's a tart kind of style of wine. Do you guys like this, out of interest? I think as a red, this is a little bit more challenging, maybe, than some stuff. Ah, I think it's pretty tasty. Okay, I think they're all tasty. Is it wet? Is it wet? That's my criteria. It's wet. Good. It's a good start. Wet and alcoholic? Good wine. Right, so Vansund is from a part of the world that is bloody wet. You know, we think we're wet here in Ireland, and we are, apart from today, funnily enough. But apparently later we're going to get, you know, just to balance it out. But Nantes, so it's on the Atlantic coast of France, and it is, again, super, super, super wet. I've been quite lucky. I've pruned with this man. So pruning is you go along in January or February when it is freezing, and you go along in a ski jacket, and you take a secateurs and you just cut all the vine back. And the idea is, if you don't do this, you're not going to get grapes for your next harvest, which is going to be in September. There's always work to do, always work to do. But anyway, he would do a load of these. You know, I was talking about the preparations. One of the things that he would have to do is the silica preparation. And again, practically speaking, I know it sounds hippie, but practically speaking, why is he doing that? Well, he's doing that because he's in a wet place and he's trying to add heat into the vineyard. The other way around, this kind of doing the manure and all this stuff, he doesn't need to do as much of that stuff because it is a kind of damp. He has a lot of clay content, all of these things. So I know it sounds hippie, but it's really, really practical. It's a practical thing to do. It's actually really kind of going back hundreds of years in terms of what people would do farming. I'm married to a lovely Sardinian woman, and I remember we had some vines on our balcony. I used to live in London, and we had this great little sun trap balcony. So I had some vines that I was killing over the years, slowly, slowly, slowly killing them over the years. But I remember we got this random bug on, and I was like, what the hell is this? I mean, that's not a bug that you would normally see in city centre London, in Stoke Newington specifically. But it was one of these bugs, and I sent a photo to my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, the little WhatsApp group where usually I'm just getting given out to about stuff. Sent a photo, and they said, you know what you need to do? Get some organic soap, put it in a bottle and spray it. And I go, all right, just do what your mother-in-law tells you to do. And you spray it, all of a sudden they disappear. It's a practical thing. Why did they disappear? Well, they were slipping. You know what I mean? They were slipping trying to stay on the leaves. So there's always a kind of practical solution to all of these things. And biodynamics is really a practical solution. The other thing that I'll say about biodynamics, again, I know it sounds a bit wacky, but some of the best producers in the world. Now, I mean people like Domaine Romani Conti, which is 12 grand a bottle kind of price. These guys are doing biodynamics. There's a reason that they're doing it. One of the reasons those guys are doing it is because they can afford to do it. I mean, it's costly. You know, we're talking about really going around and looking at each vine as you go around. We're not talking about a tractor kind of pulling stuff along, spraying stuff. Yeah, grand will mass produce all this stuff. It's not like that at all. But again, you know, sometimes it is just a case of taste the wine. If the wine is great, why? One of the reasons with this is they're taking a lot of care, and one of the reasons is biodynamic. Okay. Conscious of time. Natural wine. Here we go. We're going to taste the Gutago. Yeah. So, Gutago. Hopefully some of you will recognize this label. Probably the most Instagrammed label of all time, and I hope that you will add to the pile of Instagram. And look, guys, as you know, if you don't Instagram it, it hasn't fucking happened. So you may as well get on it. Like, okay, so this is another one. I've been really generous today. I'm spoiling you. This is another 50 quid retail wine. This is great. The last one we did was about 21.99 maybe. And again, just to be clear, all of them are available with this attractive man who's walking right here. No, you, sir, you. That's David from Green Man, best wine shop in Dublin. Don't tell all the other wine shops in Dublin I said that. Roddy's here, he's in Trim, so not in Dublin, so I can talk away about okay, so natural. Right. Natural is one of those. What is natural wine? There sadly is no definition for what is natural wine. So let's be honest, they could put pretty much anything in and call it natural. As it happens, they don't tend to do that. what natural tends to be is almost zero manipulation. So we're talking about manipulations that you can do in the winery, like moving the wine around. You can put it through reverse osmosis machines. You can... Sulfur is a big thing that people talk about. Most wines will have sulfites added, so that's what you see, contain sulfites on almost all labels. These particular guys, these would be fairly militant in their kind of ideals around natural wine, and this has no sulfites added at all. So if you think you're allergic to sulfites, if you think you are, A, you're probably not, just to be clear, but B, if you really genuinely are, this is a wine you can drink. So natural. They are basically farming biodynamically in the vineyard, so they're doing all of that stuff. They are not spraying any herbicides, not spraying any pesticides. They're doing all of the good things, like all of the kind of positive, proactive additions in the vineyard. But then also when it comes to the winery, they're choosing to not use things like new oak. So new oak would add a flavor to the wine. I mean, most people quite like the flavor of new oak. So I don't have a problem with people using new oak. I think it's fine. But there are certain styles of wine where it works more than others. But these guys would really look at this like absolutely 100%. We do not add anything to the wine. And hopefully when you guys taste this, you'll all agree that the results are bloody, bloody good. So this is from a place in Austria called Burgenland. So it's like, I don't know how familiar you guys are with the geography of Austria. Why would you be unless you love Austria? Who knows? Anyway, it's kind of on the Hungarian part. So it's over this side and there's a big lake and it's called Neusiedler See. And these guys are located about a kilometer from Neusiedler See. So they're right on the lake. It's an interesting region because, again, this would have been part of the kind of Austro-Hungarian Empire. This is a local variety called Rösler and then Blaufränkisch. I have already seen that someone does not like the wine. Dun, dun, dun.
I don't like red.
Walk of shame. Walk of shame. No, thank you. Don't like red. Don't like red. Oh.
I know, right?
I mean, it's one of the primary colors. We're going to have to work on this. You're my buddy now for the day. You have to tag along by me and taste everything that I taste. It's going to be terrible, but we'll get through it. In Ireland, we have this thing, basically, on your 18th birthday, you're like, going to the pub. Which pub? The really shitty pub at the end that I never will go to again other than on my 18th birthday. And I will be force-fed Guinness until I like it. But you will like it. And funnily enough, the next day, you're like, geez, I'd love a Guinness. I don't know why, but I would love a Guinness. Red. All day today, red. We're going to carry you out of here later. It's going to be fine. Okay, anyway. Natural. To cut a long story short, it's organic. It's biodynamic. And it's taking it a lot further as well. There are cool, cool wine fairs like Raw Wine Fair. And Raw Wine Fair has its own kind of charter of what you are and aren't allowed to do. So I think Raw's charter is 70 parts per million of sulfur you're allowed to use. So, like, that's a pretty low amount of sulfur that you are allowed to use. But here, again, there's no added sulfur. Just because we have very little time, I'm going to get straight on to the next wine. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of... Chug, 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 chug. Drink responsibly, folks. Drink responsibly. Drink responsibly. There are spittoons available. You just can't see them. So, come on, it's Thursday. Come on, get stuck in. It's a built-in, it's a back spittoon. Backspitting, it's the way to go. So, the next wine we're going to do is a wine that is... Yeah, so if anyone doesn't want to chug their wine, Mary's also going to bring around a paper cup so you can, like, non-chug and take your time and appreciate and be a connoisseur and, again, drink responsibly. So this next wine is a wine that's very close to my heart because it's my wine. Now, can I just say, you should always, always, when someone says that, reserve your applause until you've tasted it. Okay? Okay, good. So next time you do that, just be like, oh, it's your wine. Great. Great. I'm sure that's going to be... And then, like, you know, chew your way through it and go, oh, it's delicious. The reason that I put this on is because... My wine kind of doesn't really fit into any of those organic, biodynamic, natural. So the reason I say that, this is made naturally. It's kind of a natural wine. But one of the vineyards is conventionally farmed. So there's two vineyards that go into it. One of them is organic, so would fit into the same kind of spot as Roisin's wine. And then the other one is farmed with chemicals and things like that. Now, it happens to be in Sardinia, so it's the island below Corsica, for those of you who know Corsica. Why would you know? Anyway, so I can't really call it natural because it just doesn't fall into that kind of bracket, okay? So I just choose to not put any label on it at all other than my wine. But hopefully you guys will like this. And given that I'm kind of out of time, Mari, am I? Roughly? No, she's not answering, so I'll keep talking. Okay, I'm fine. Good. Okay, I'll tell you a bit more about it then. Just go. Oh, you. I literally brought this back in a suitcase last week, by the way. So if it tastes shit, it's because of the suitcase. Not nothing to do with the wine at all. The wine's amazing. Go buy it. This is 2017. So a funny story about that. It doesn't have a vintage on it because it's table wine. It's Vino Rosso. So we haven't declared it as anything because really we kind of made this wine because, and I say we, it's me and my brother-in-law, we made this wine because we're trying to do something very different to all the other wines in Sardinia. So this is Cananao, so it's Grenache. Generally speaking, in Sardinia, they make really big, full-bodied, kind of like a little bit like old-school Chateauneuf-du-Pape kind of style wines. And for me personally, I prefer to drink the stuff that we've just tasted. These kind of light, bright, tart kind of... If it's not all about acid, I mean, what else could it be about? There's actually a talk about acid later on at about... Oh, no, don't go to that because it's conflicting with my time. Actually, no, I'm going to just say the exact same shit that I've just told you now. So do go to that. You would be very bored. There's a talk about acid later, and they've got some really like interesting kind of graphics to make you feel like you're on acid while you're tasting the wine, is my idea, I think. Okay, so what we've done, which is really different to what everybody else is doing in Sardinia, we've picked really early. So the grapes in this glass of wine were picked kind of August 27, August 28th. And our idea for that is we're trying to maintain freshness, maintain acidity. And you should, I hope, taste a wine that has quite a lot of bite. So I say bite, but like other wine nerds will say structure. Structure is all the stuff that you can measure in a glass of wine. So it's like you can measure the tannin. Do you guys know what tannin are? Tannin are like the kind of bitter drying sensation you get. Think about squeezing a tea bag really, really tight. Like you get that kind of astringency in. But yeah, we wanted to make a wine that has a lot of bite and a lot of vibrancy. This one that you're tasting now is 2017. It's a really, really hot, dry vintage. So it ends up that it is even more structured. It is more tannic than it probably normally is. The 2018, by comparison, is really bright, light, almost like a rosé in style. It just is the change of the vintage. We pretty much pick at the same time every year. Make sure to get my good side, won't you? So we've anyway, the reason I was saying about the 2017, there's none of that in the label. We're just calling it a Vino Rosso. We had a bit of a run in with people. It's now called GN Guerra. It used to be called Garnacha, not Guerra. You can't call it Garnacha because that's a synonym of Cananao, and we would have to be calling it Cananao di Sardegna and blah 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 blah. You know, for people who are very happy to flaunt the rules for themselves, you'd have thought they'd let me do it as well, but they did in the first two vintages, not in that one. Okay, does anyone have any questions? In my head when I was starting, I was going to go, do you know what, we're going to make this a really two, it's going to be a debate, it's going to be two ways. And I've noticed that I have just talked for a half an hour straight. I'm feeling kind of tired.
What do you use for fining if you're making organic wine?
It's an amazing question. What would you use for fining if you're making organic wine? So I love that question. It's my favorite question possibly ever. Do you do wine as well?
I used to do in Kenya, but now I ferment other things.
Awesome. Like what?
Kombucha, sauerkraut.
Got any in the bag? I brought my wrong bag. Okay, great one. What would you use for fining? And fining, just for some of you who don't know what fining is, because why would you? But fining is kind of in one. It's a little bit like clarification. It's like taking the color out. It's a very interesting thing because this particular wine, ain't fined, as you can tell. So what would you use for fining if you're doing organic wine? Time, gravity, coolness, cold. They're the big ones. You can use egg fining. You can absolutely use, like, so egg whites people tend to use. But really people have stopped doing that because of the thing of veganism and vegetarianism and all of those kind of things. So people like the idea that their wines are vegetarian. But the big one is cold temperature. And time. Time is the best filterer or finer of wines. Definitely. Their words. Any other questions? Yes. Defo. Is it meant to be served chilled? Absolutely. And I would fully recommend you all drink your red wines a little bit cooler, your white wines maybe a little bit warmer. You taste different things at different temperatures, 100%. And again, like I was saying, for us, it's all about trying to get a little bit more bite in the wine. We want the wine to be refreshing. You know, and like generally, it's refreshing isn't a word we use quite often with red wines. So here we're kind of going refreshing and get it a bit cooler and you get it a bit more refreshing. Questions? No? Good. Thank you, folks. You're very good to listen. Thanks. Take it easy.
Thank you so much, Mick, for all your hard work on the day and, of course, fantastic wines. For me, this is one of the best talks I've ever heard on breaking down of the different labels that exist in wine in a non-judgmental, non-jargon way. I've left below all of the details of the wines that we tasted on the day, as well as Mick's contact details on social media. And of course, do find me on social media where I'm at Interpreting Wine on Instagram and Facebook, at Wine Podcast on Twitter, or email hello@interpretingwine.com. Next time in the Dublin Wine and Cheese Festival series, we hear a talk from one of the leading lights in the Dublin wine scene, Claire Gallagher of Green Man Wines. See you then.